roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz reporting for duty here on a Monday. Anxious to talk to you about this past weekend. Wow. All I can say, three letters, wow, and that exclamation point. UFC 261 was something else. PFL warmed things up as well. Nice appetizer on Friday. Two of my favorite divisions, featherweight, lightweights. We'll go over the results of PFL week. It's actually PFL 2021 week one. That's how they categorize it. And we'll go over that. In fact, we're going to have a guest from that fight card, Brendan Lochnane, who controversially didn't make it into the UFC, if you'll recall, a few seasons ago on Dana White Contender Series, because with seconds left, he went for a takedown instead of the finish. Cool cat. We've kept in touch with him. And he got a win. He got a win over Shaman Marais at PFL 2021 Week 1. So we'll talk to him later on in the show. And, of course, the UFC with their three title fights. Some are regarding it as the best. I think it's hard to really say that, because you'd really have to like teleport yourself and, you know, remember the feeling of being in the stadium, in the arena, and compare it to this past Saturday night. I wasn't there, but 15,000 were there. A lot of media were saying it, but watching it from home, of course, I can easily go, hey, it's probably top five. Seriously, it ticked all the boxes and had everything we wanted. So we'll go over those results as well. And the news nuggets, and I got to include it. I actually tell the editorial this now, the news nuggets. And the drama. The drama is just part of the sport now. You know, social media, haters, stuff like that. But it really does, it moves the needle. So if that means people are talking about it, reading about it, you know, watching, listening, whatever. So same thing. We're fans, man. And we talked about it. It's not like I said, did you see? It's not like I told Goz on Saturday, did you see DC? And he said, shut up, the next fight's coming up. No, he went, yeah, man, I saw that. You know, they almost got into it, and we talked about it. And then we watched the next fight. So it's part of the sport. So we'll talk about all that. And, we'll be with you for the next hour here, like we do every Monday and Thursday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, live here on Sportscaster. Buckle up, Junkie Nation. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Monday, April 26th. Gozy Gator, hey, Masvidal in the main event at UFC 261, KO punch, second round, beautiful straight right, just knocked out Jorge, and of course it was a couple follow-ups, which Kamaru Usman joked in the post-fight press conference saying they were super necessary, but what were your thoughts on that fight and the result?
I thought what was interesting about the whole card was most of them big fights left no room for any drama or any hey, that was an early stoppage. I mean, Zhang Weili maybe complained a little bit, but I mean, we'll get to that. But it was the BMF, and he had a guy in front of him that did wrestle a little, but not as much as he tried to in the first fight, and he actually knocked him out standing, which is, you know, what Jorge Masvidal is really good at, is just to stand up, stand in front of me, let's bang. Kamaru Usman did that, and he hit him with a shot that just probably one of the cleanest shots I've ever seen in a fight, in a UFC fight. And that just ended everything. There was nothing to talk about after that. These two will never, I have no reason to ever see them in the same room ever again. It just proved how tough Kamaru Usman is. And I thought Jorge Masvidal played it right. You know, he gave him respect and talked about dusting himself off and coming back. But going forward, the storyline now just becomes Kamaru Usman and how great he is.
Yeah. Masvidal said as much as well. He said, he's got my number. You know, he's beaten him twice now. He's beaten him with a decision over 6 days preparation and a knockout with 6 weeks preparation. So yeah, he did take his loss gracefully. I haven't seen anything past the post-fight interview he did with Joe Rogan. So that's all I'm going by. But he did seem to handle it with class. He said, you know, it was humiliating or embarrassing or something, because his people, meaning a lot of people probably from the 305, Miami, the state of Florida that root for him, that popped for him at the weigh-ins throughout the week, you know, they were there and they were obviously bummed out. They wanted to see him complete the journey of these past 20 years. So what can you do? You're right. Dust yourself off. Come back. Kamaru Usman is a great welterweight, and he now has 4 title defenses. Since beating Tyrone Woodley, he beat, let's see here, Colby Covington, Jorge Masvidal, Gilbert Burns, and now Jorge Masvidal again. So this is his 4th one, and that's pretty simply put just amazing, because when you put that together with, I think he's on 14 or 15 straight wins, I think the record's Anderson Silva at 16, and only the one loss on his in his career, and you know, the domination that he's shown in some of these fights, you just got to tip your hat. You know, we can go in different directions. Where do you want to rank the welterweights or whatever? But then we drift off from the rest of the card, and I don't want to spend too much time doing that, other than to say congrats to Kamaru Usman. Very special moment to, he said, to have his dad in the cage with him, with the fans. And obviously you all know the story behind his dad, who was in prison for many years. And so now together as a family, they can enjoy his accomplishments together. The mom, the dad, his daughter, his brother, they're all in there, and it's pretty cool to see.
This is one of those rare times where the UFC, I thought, did everything perfect, because they got the fight together the way it played out. And then we already know what's going to happen next. You know, Colby Covington seems like he's next. He was there. I kind of like the fact that they didn't bring him in the cage. I think that's something Colby wanted to do, because it probably would have taken away from the moment that he had with his father. And I think that was pretty cool, especially when we consider sometimes we say these guys don't promote these fighters well enough. Like, this is a very, very...
do that every time if they know who it is.
It's a very interesting backstory that he has with his father and with his family. So I thought it was a good moment to kind of make Kamaru Usman shine.
The only thing I can think of why they don't do it is because they're still negotiating and things aren't going well, so they don't want to promise the fans, right, and get them fired up for something that isn't going to happen. But see, I think in this instance, it was said during the week, it was said post-fight. It seemed pretty certain to me, you know, unless someone got injured over the weekend acting a fool in the lobby of the hotel. Especially with Usman kind of handling business pretty quick. And he says he wants to be an active fighter. And by the way, that's what helped a little bit with this Masvidal rematch, was the fact that when they announced it, we were going to get to it quick, you know. So we did, and now we move on. Of course, when someone takes a loss in a title shot, I like them to get a win at least. I get it. If you sell tickets and you're super popular, you know, the promotional bend over backwards, but the message you send to the rest of the division. Plus, it's the same argument I would make for Masvidal if he was one of the contenders trying to get to the top and somebody else was in a position where they fought the champ, lost, and now they're going to get the shot. I'd go, what about Masvidal? I really just try and call it down the middle in regards to all of them, you know, and just whatever info I have, I react. But it, you know, they did it quick, and that was the good thing. Now, what's going to happen with Colby? Are they going to do that one quick? I don't know. You know, we'll have to wait and see. I think when you fight 2 times in the last 2 months like Usman did, let the man go on a vacation. Don't even call him for a month. And then when he gets back, all right, let's look at the calendar. Boom. You know, maybe 3 months from that date. So what's today? Today's the 26th. Let's sit down on May 26th. And now let's give you 2 or 3 months. August, September
around, yeah, there, I think makes sense.
Yeah. So that would be cool. Now, for Colby, we'd have to circle back to when he fought Tyrone Woodley, which, if I'm not mistaken, was last fall. So he could be looking at a year. But he's also done that a few times. Who knows if that would be a bother to him? I don't think so, because he doesn't have the best relationship with the UFC. And for them to automatically go, nope, it's Colby. You know, we don't have to even worry about Leon Edwards and if he destroys Nate Diaz. Well, could he be next? No, it's Colby. You know, so that's it. They're moving on. So that's why I would have loved for them to bring him into the center of the octagon and just face off. I'm not asking for pushing and shoving. Just face off. And I think those have moments have served well from when I've watched as a fan and covered the sport. It's just, it's cool, man. I like it. It's tense and it speaks volumes and it helps promote the fight.
But the one thing you have to remember too is Jorge Masvidal is there, right? So now you have a recipe for just complete disaster because you can't really tell Colby Covington to do. And then on top of it, Masvidal is a guy that you can't really tell what to do. So even if Kamaru and Colby can hold it together, who knows what happens with Masvidal in there and Colby.
Yeah, and I suppose you could wait till Masvidal says what he has to say, leaves the octagon, bring in Colby, but then, you know, they're all in one fighter hotel now. A lot of these guys that get paid well, they like to do their Airbnb, go to another hotel, just kind of live the life. But right now, because of COVID, I think they're all stuck within the same hotel. I'm sure the UFC's probably made arrangements and have extra security to make sure there's no running. But yeah, these guys, Colby does like to run his mouth.
Or Sean Shelby. Either one works, yeah. Right?
Colby has run his mouth, so you never know. And maybe the UFC just didn't want to stoke that fire. But I don't know. You know what cracked me up, too, was I was watching the post-fight press conference, and John Morgan leads things off, as always. He asks a set of questions, and somehow Colby versus Kamaru Usman comes up, and Dana goes, yep, that's next. And then he goes, oh, okay, well, what about, I can't remember if he said Shevchenko or Namajunas. He went that route. John did. And Dana goes, you know I don't make fights on fight night. I'm thinking, dude, like 10 seconds ago, you just finished telling us what's next. And that's why they ask you. That's why the media asks you. Our media, especially the junkies. Junkies are as solid as they get, right? No, but seriously, MMA media, there's some really, really great hard workers out there. They ask because, A, it's their job, but you have set a precedent, Mr. Dana White, in the past of matchmaking on fight night. So they're just taking the chance that you may have something. You may have a doozy for us. You know, so that's why I just would prefer for him to go, that's usually not my thing, you know, kind of leave a little opening. Like, I know I've done it in the past, but it's usually not my thing. And it's not the
right.
And this time I have no answer for you or whatever, but he'll do it. And then he'll do it with this look like, you fucking clown. You know, I don't make fights on fight night, motherfucker. Like, you know what I mean? but anyways, I just got a kick out of it. Rose Namajunas defeated Zhang Weili. And by the way, if we haven't said it enough, Kamaru Usman's a bad motherfucker. He's climbing up the pound-for-pound rankings right now, the current. He's chasing GSP for all-time greatest welterweight. I think he still has a ways to go. GSP had, what, I always mess this up, 10 title defenses, I believe, or 9, and I think Anderson had 10. Yeah, so he still has like 5 more to get to GSP. I don't think he has to get them and match them because he's also got one loss, whereas GSP wound up with Houston Serra. That was it, right?
Yeah.
2 losses. But GSP also won in 2 weight classes. So more title defenses, 2 weight classes. Let's see if Usman can get through a few more. But I think at some point he can probably pass him without having to get to 9 or break 9 or anything like that. Question is, did he pass Hughes? Hughes had 7 across a couple brains. And Hughes also had 2 fights where one guy didn't make weight and another guy just said, no, I'm only going to fight you at 175. That was Hoist Gracie. Some would say, well, it was a layup. Whatever. I don't know. And so, you know, maybe he could have had 9. I don't know. But this is what the records books say. They say 7. Usman has 4. But I think I may argue that Usman may have passed him.
It's getting close. Yeah. I think there's just no way around it. Colby Covington took some rounds, so possibly he can catch Usman. But other than him, the thing about Kamaru Usman is he's kind of solved every riddle that you could possibly throw out there, right? Like, he's faced strikers, he's faced jiu-jitsu guys, he's faced wrestlers. Mm-hmm. So right away, like, there's no question that he can handle himself in there. Now it's just a matter of, like, kind of GSP. Like, does he get caught? You know, the way Serra got caught.
And he's bounced back from 2 forms of adversity. One being down 2-0 going into the rounds 3, 4, and 5. That was against Covington. And he's also bounced back adversity of being knocked down like Gilbert Burns did in their fight and coming back, you know, shaking those cobwebs off, coming back, and then finishing Gilbert Burns. So the guy's really, really done a lot in terms of addressing whether you have any doubts about his cardio, his one punch power, his ability to, you know, remain composed through a fight camp and a lead in and a fight card that's being promoted over, you know, months, and someone's poking and prodding. Like I say, I mean, he's pretty close to perfect right now with what he's done with his record. But let's see, because Covington did win those two rounds from Usman. Covington did an interview with Mike Bond. You can check it out on the front page of MMA Junkie. You know, you just scroll a little bit. Or always, you can catch the interviews on our YouTube page, youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo, and look for it there. And he says, hey, look, I've evolved and I've become a better fighter. I'm now at MMA Masters. And he talked about the coaches and what he's done and what he's learned. So they're all getting better.
Yeah.
All right. So now Rose Namajunas defeated Zhang Weili. Head kick, first round, a minute 18 in. Beautiful head kick KO. We don't have a problem with that. Then some follow-up punches. Looked like there was a forearm delivered on the way down as well that collided with Zhang Weili that I think had impact, because Zhang Weili did get up, but immediately raised her left arm as a defense. So now we're, as fans, I think the ref and even Rose herself, we're thinking, oh, she's not done. Rose comes in to kind of get like a top position on her and finish the fight. And in doing so, it looked like her forearm also hit Zhang Weili. So Zhang Weili, her head kind of, you know, bounces a little bit. But still, she seems like it's into it. And then using her right hand to look like what she wants to maybe post or something. She's also taking punches. And in slow motion, you see the head kind of, now this time, really dribbling off the canvas. But see, all this is happening really, really fast. And the referee's trying to dissect it. And he comes to the conclusion, I'm stopping this. So Zhang Weili's like, what, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I was looking at all these little tells of, you know, did Peterson jump in too soon or... You know, so I'm trying to describe what I saw, the arm first that went up, her trying to maybe post a little bit. But in the end goes, when she got up and could barely walk, that's when we knew that no matter how it looked, the referee did a brilliant job in stopping it when he did. Now, some might say, well, maybe she could have taken one or two more. Okay, maybe she could have, you know, but she seemed to be done in his eyes, and that should be good enough. You got to give praise to the refs, too, not just when they do, you know, you can't just bring up their names when they do bad. You got to bring it up when they do good. I'm going to try to do a little bit more of that.
I kind of, in a way, I feel what Zhang Weili is saying, because in that whole process, she's on the ground. So the fact that she stood up and was wobbly, I think it tells that she was messed up. But the fact that she was on the ground, she could have maybe gotten a hold of her. Mm-hmm. And she would have been fine there. But I don't think it was the worst thing in the world. I mean, I just kind of see her point a little bit, but I think Keith Pearson probably did the right call, and that probably saved her from what could have been even worse, right, mm-hmm. for her and her career. But I will say this. When Peterson was, I think he was already going in with the intention of stopping the fight. Once he saw the way she fell back, mm-hmm. I think he felt it probably would take only one or something.
Right.
So I don't know that he saw the two follow-ups or the three follow-ups and said, now I'm stopping. I think that was just all one motion in his head.
Well, I'd have to see and see if there was hesitation on his part. But
it's not the overall, worst thing in the world.
I was pleased with the way it was handled. You know me, I feel like there's this threshold, like an imaginary threshold of when the referee should stop the fight. And I'm usually on the longer leash, like give them till the very end. And a lot of people were like, what are you trying to give them, brain damage? Are you trying to really get them fucked up? No, I'm not. But that's just what I prefer. Others would prefer they stop it early. They live to fight another day. And I have no problem with that either. Zhang Weili can possibly come back from that. I thought Rose would end the fight with her hands was probably my first, probably what I thought, you know, the most. And then a submission was probably would have been my second guess. But a head kick? No. But she says, hey, I started working more seriously with Pat Barry. Now that my hands are pretty clean and I got them where I want, I've been working with Pat Barry, you know, and bringing back that Taekwondo that I've grown up with. And she put it to work.
Her timing was impeccable. Her timing, her movement, her judging the distance when she strikes. She looked phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, it was a beautiful head kick. What's next for her? I don't know. Right before the fight, Joanna tweeted, let's see who, or I guess the winner gets me next or something like that. And I was thinking, okay, inject yourself. I get it. Nothing wrong with that. I've often said, don't interject yourself just to get the attention off of somebody, you know, post fight. You guys know who the common offenders are of that. But before the fight, you know, you're kind of getting things going, I suppose, because Joe Rogan could easily see that and say, hey, winner A or B, you know, during the fight or before the fight, Joanna did say this. Any thoughts? You know what I mean? So I don't mind that. She said it. Now, in my mind, I was like, well, you better hope it ain't Rose, because you're 0-2 against her in title fights. And that's usually, UFC doesn't go down the path of the third one. Takes a lot to convince them to get to that. Only seen it a few times. Looks like Holloway will probably get one if it's Volkanovski. Respect to Ortega and Tito Ortiz. Now, this wasn't for a title fight, but they were going to do Tito Ortiz versus Chuck Liddell. Tough, and then they fight, and then Ortiz got hurt. Rich Franklin subbed in, and then he knocked out Chuck Liddell. But anyway, I'm sure they probably could think of a few more, but it's not common. You know, Tate wasn't going to get a third shot at Rousey. Benavidez just wasn't getting that shot against DJ, and I'm sure there's a few more. But in this case, and Silva versus Weidman, in this case, with Joanna having the fight of the year, or not everybody gave them fight of the year, but, you know, one of the fights of the year last year against Zhang Weili, she put herself in a nice position if things played out. Now, again, against Rose, I don't know. Rose was bringing up Carla and Panda, I think, are fighting. Mm-hmm. And so she was thinking, well, I might have my eyes on that. Now, I've always said Tatiana Suarez, who's now going on almost 2 years of inactivity. I think her last fight was Nina Ansaroff, but she's had neck problems. But I've also heard that she might be on the comeback trail. Undefeated and beaten ranked opponents. So I could see her as well being in the mix. She hasn't fought Rose or taken a loss to the current champ, which is, again, Rose. I would have said the same on behalf of her if Zhang Weili won. Now, if Zhang Weili would have won, Zhang Weili may have been able to go the route of Kamaru Usman, like, hey, there's someone who I beat who's been talking and I'd like to fight, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And get them to fight Joanna. In that case,
I think for sure,
because it was happened. So close, Dana might go, well, I was close the first time, let's run it back, you know. But Joanna hasn't fought in over a year now, so I could have possibly seen that.
Would you have had a problem with that?
I don't probably think I not.
It's one of the greatest fights in probably female not. History, especially in MMA history, really.
Yeah, especially if Zhang Weili ended Rose early. And she wanted to turn it around quick. Yes. You know, again, not a fan of someone getting a title shot coming off a loss, but understand why it happens at times. And sometimes the champs get what they want. I think in this case, Dana knew, whew, Kamaru wanted it, so I'm going to give it to him. But Dana was also thinking, we're going to make a lot of money off this fight. You know, that's what he was really thinking. And then, but he had to play the role of, well, Kamaru wants it, you know, because Kamaru at that point had defended. Kamaru, I should say, defended at that point 3 times. So, anyway, I would have been warm to it. I would have been open to it. But that didn't happen. Rose won. I don't know if Joanna will get it. Joanna would have to go gangster goes or something and have a run-in with her at the lobby. Everyone's talking about it. Maybe, you know, but
I don't think with that.
She's going to have to win a fight.
Yeah.
She'll have to win a fight. And even then, I think Rose would go, now I'm thinking about it. You know, before, nope, I wasn't even thinking about it. Now I'm thinking, oh, she might have to win 2 fights. I don't know. But Joanna, at one point, I thought, posted something enjoying retirement. Then she clarified that wasn't the case. But I think that thought's in her head. She's probably made some good money. She's really a fun social media fall. She looks like she enjoys life,
mm-hmm.
You know, and she goes out there and she dresses up and goes out. She's at the beach. She vacations. She spends family time. She's a foodie. She'll go back to ATT and train for 2 months, then go back, you know. So I don't know. I mean, if she were to just go, I'm done, I'm out, I would say you had a hell of a career, kid, and we'll let you know when it's time for your Hall of Fame induction.
She's also very emotional, and I think early on when that fight took place, obviously the feeling of losing probably sucked. But on top of that, you know, like, social media is just so terrible. Remember how big her head got, the swelling and all that? I think that was just one of those things where she said, you know what, I'm done. But you could tell because she was constantly in the gym. Yeah. If you follow her social media, her gym visits and all that don't feel any less than when she's an active fighter.
But if she sat around thinking it was a lock, I think she made a mistake. And if she turned down fights along the way, I think, again, I would venture to say it was a mistake. I guess sometimes fighters have rolled the dice, and what do you know? It works out. But in this case, I don't know, man. I don't know if she'll get it. We'll see. Credit to Rose Namajunas. Goes, I got a question for you regarding Rose Namajunas. Is she the greatest strawweight ever? Is she now better than Joanna Jędrzejczyk? Joanna Jędrzejczyk defended the damn thing 5 times, but she took 2 losses head on to Rose. And on behalf of Rose, I don't think she's defended it once against Joanna when she gave her the rematch. So she only has 1 title defense. Joanna has 5, but she's beaten Joanna twice. Mm-hmm. Now she's 10-4 overall, Rose's.
I think it's easy to say she's Joanna, a better fighter than Joanna, but saying you're a better champion is a little different. So I think she would have to get.
Well, the question is, who's the greatest strawweight ever? Joanna, by the way, is 20-4. Rose is 10-4.
Then the answer to that is Joanna, I think.
I think it's Rose.
You do? But she only has 1 title defense.
Right. But she's beaten Zhang Weili, Jessica Andrade, Joanna twice. Like, that's that foursome that we kept talking about that might rule the strawweight division until Suarez made her move in. And then when you look at Joanna against that same grouping, she's 0-2 against Rose. I mean, it's not a contest. It's not a contest of,
but we're talking about their reign, right? Like that's what makes them a great champion. Is, well, their reign and 5 title defenses.
It's subjective. So if you see it that way, you're not wrong. You know, that's your opinion. But I put her 5 title defenses against the other ones 1, but then Rose beat her twice, so that carries a lot of weight as well. So I think Rose at this moment is the greatest strawweight ever. And if you want to go further, you're Mount Rushmore. Cyborg and Nunes are automatic, right?
For all of female MMA?
Yeah.
Rousey, Cyborg, Nunes.
Right. So Rose could tell Joanna, excuse me, I'm going to sit right there. Now Valentina's going, what about me? She's got 5 title defenses, and she was formidable as a bantamweight. So you could say she's a pound-for-pound queen as well. Not the queen right now, because that's obviously Amanda Nunes. Unless you tell Cyborg,
I don't know,
you tell you were dominant, but you didn't have a lot of competition, a lot of the toughest competition. And when you did come up short on that one fight. You know, I don't know. But, man, when she held up those 4 belts, Invicta, Strikeforce, Bellator, and UFC, no matter if it included a loss to Amanda Nunes, you had to put some respect on her name. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. It's hard. I think it's hard to ever not include her. I think it's hard to not include Rousey because of the destructive force she was at. She was until.
But people are going to catch derailed. Her, I think. I think people are going to end up catching her.
But Rousey kind of like, I mean, you ever see the way some of these girls talk about Rousey? Like,
yeah,
you know, she did it, man. She brought women's MMA. She carried us. So I think she's going to get a lot of that lift that Hoist gets from time to time, where you go, you know, Fedor, Silva, GSP, Jones, you want to throw the modern athlete in there, but then you remember what Hoist did back then, his record, and then you forget about Hughes, you forget about Sakuraba, what you just remember the run he had where he won 3 UFCs, open weight, I think all finishes, right, or something like that, except for the Shamrock fight, which wound up being what, a draw, and took the loss to Harold Howard, which technical, you know, kind of like the Jones one, I guess. I mean, Jones did do an illegal foul, but
well, this one was even worse. They didn't even fight.
Yeah, so like that's why a lot of people go, you got to put Hoist in there, and you're no way gonna convince some people when they go, you got to put Hoist in there in that Mount Rushmore. He's the George Washington of, you know, that's his era or whatever. And I don't argue too much with those people because I think they have a point. And in fact, sometimes you know, mind shifts around, and sometimes I think of it that way as well. And I think Rousey's gonna, she'll always be in there. I think Cyborg might always be in there. Think Nunes. So basically, all these other young ladies are gonna fight each other to be that 4th spot. Mm-hmm. So as I ask you that, Valentina might be going, "Hey fool, why haven't you brought up my name?" Because she's got 5 title defenses. Yeah,
she herself might deserve it too.
And she was a formidable bantamweight. You know, let's talk about her. By the way, she defeated Jessica Andrade. I mean, annihilated her. Goes like steamrolled her, like in a cartoon. Where, so when someone gets steamrolled and they're actually flat, and then the the animator has to breathe life into them, cartoonish, you know, and boop, they become a figure again. She literally got steamrolled at her own game on the ground. Everybody kept saying, and probably me too, you know, hey, if it's on the ground, Andrade is dangerous, which she has. It's not like we were lying. But I think Valentina was like, oh, yeah, let me show you what's up. And I think a lot of people said it as well about Juliana. On the feet, Valentina. On the ground, Juliana, you know. Guess what? She submitted Juliana. Valentina's something else.
Yeah, it was just complete destruction. Like, I've been thinking about how to talk about this without sounding disrespectful to Jessica Andrade. Because Jessica Andrade is a formidable opponent. She's got great skills, but she just ran into a freight train that night. She ran into somebody that could do everything she could do and do it better. She just didn't. She had moments where you felt like she could do something in that situation, but she didn't have the power and the skill to pull it off. You know, she tried. She'd get her underhooks and she'd try and throw her. She just didn't have the power to do it.
She locked up once with Valentina, and Valentina said, where do you think you're going? You know, and she threw her down violently.
It's like big sister, little sister.
Holy cow. I think at that moment, Andrade said, you know, you guys got that towel ready, because that should have been me lifting her, slamming her, either trying to knock her out from the slam or going to work, you know, with my jiu-jitsu or some ground and pound, maybe stealing back the round. I don't know, because by then Valentina had already scored takedowns and was just dominating. But, you know, if you can do it and then land a... Anyway, the fight ended, man.
Valentina destroyed her. It's weird because you look at those title fights, all three of them, those are six great, phenomenal fighters. Yet the three that walked away with victories walked away practically unscathed. All three of them.
Yeah, you're right. Well, every fight ended in the first round in the main card, except for two of them. Valentina went into round two, and Andrade or Usman, he ended it in round two as well. The other ones ended in round one. What's next for Valentina? I would probably look at what's her face. Joanne Calderwood is fighting Lauren Murphy. Lauren Murphy's won four in a row. And if Calderwood can win, she will have won three of four. I think she's 4-2 in her last six. So I don't know if Calderwood would get it coming off a win over Lauren Murphy, but that's not a bad person to beat. You know, she's streaking. I think Lauren Murphy at 5-0, she would be next. Because Valentina didn't show, I got to phrase this right. It's not that she didn't show interest in Amanda Nunes. I think she would obviously fight Amanda Nunes, but see, she didn't call her out.
But if she doesn't want it, then why should we? That's the problem.
A little bit.
When you're trying to sell these things.
And I think Dana said the same thing.
Yeah.
He said, if they want it, I'll probably make it happen. Because remember, Valentina lost to her twice, but damn, both of them were close. They really were. And one of them was non-title. So the other cases I brought up, I believe I said they were title fights, which they were. Benavidez versus Johnson, Tate versus Rousey, Silva versus Weidman. You know, this is one where it's non-title. We got a JRT over there. All right. Anyway, I'll keep talking. Lauren Murphy, who's won four in a row, faces Joanne Calderwood here just on an upcoming show very soon, too. And I think if Murphy wins, the shot's hers. And if Calderwood wins, I think she's got a pretty good shot as well, because to win three out of four and for one of them to be taking out Murphy, who's got the best streak going on. There's also Talita Noguera and a few other gals that possibly, you know, have a say, but I don't think they've done enough. I think Murphy is it. And I think if you tell Valentina, guess what? It's you and Nunes. She'll go, oh, cool. All right, great. But she didn't call her out. I think basically she wants to not worry about it and just continue to do what she's done. And really, if you think about it, what she did on Saturday night, like, can be talked about in so many ways, because a lot of her other title defenses were very, very impressive, but this one may have been the most impressive. Granted, Andrade just built up her name. She was actually a pretty formidable bantamweight. Then she dropped to strawweight, became a champ, and then at flyweight, she had a good little run going. she's really, really a great women fighter. Great fighter, Jessica Andrade. And she got owned. And I think Valentina's just saying, just line them up, and I'm going to impress you one way or another. And then when you say Nunes' name, then I'm in. But I don't think she wants to take the route. The only reason I think media does bring it up and fans, because when Nunes wins, it's like, well, who can beat her? You know, well, what are we supposed to say? Shrug our shoulders. I mean, we think of, well, the, you know, Shevchenko gave her those fights. So that's why that gets pushed. Plus, you would think the UFC would want to do a champ versus champ. They love those opportunities. They couldn't do it fast enough with Izzy and Blachowicz. So why not, you know? But Dana doesn't seem to have that interest for some reason. I don't know. And I think Shevchenko is also saying, look, when it happens, but man, Nunes has kind of teased retirement a few times. Like, I don't know that there's many left, and I don't think Valentina would want for Nunes to retire for without her getting the third shot.
I think that's
we reached out to Valentina. Vocal. Hopefully we can have her and ask her those questions. But I think if Nunes were to retire after her next one, she's got Juliana Pena, then I think Valentina would go, damn, you know, I wanted to fight her, but
I don't think she's that close. I mean, I she did make it sound like two or so around there, but I honestly think going through camps, now having the baby, and with Nina fighting as well, I think they'll just kind of figure out how to make it work.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, people know kids are expensive, man. And so I would imagine she wants to keep fighting, especially now, and especially because she doesn't really seem like she's being challenged. So I think she would do it. I think a lot of people would sign up for that third fight and be interested. So maybe if she gets it on the right card, she could make a lot of money off of it. But I think Valentina will become more vocal the closer it seems like that fight may never happen because Nunes is going to retire. I think for now she's just kind of chilling, but I think she will be more vocal at that point.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. I wanted to say two last things about it. One, if Pena wins, Nunes probably would get an instant rematch unless she got hurt. So maybe Shevchenko is going, oh, the current champ, I beat her. You know, maybe she thinks she can slide in that way. That's one thing. And then two, another reason I think the media bring it up is one of the embeddeds. I don't know if you caught all six, but in one of them, I thought they showed Valentina reaction after Nunes won. And she just had this look like, I want to fight her again. You know, Maybe it was the countdown, because I saw the countdown and all six embedded. It was in there somewhere. And I was like, oh, OK, I see that fire. She wants that. So we'll see. But Uriah Hall defeated Chris Weidman. OK, if you don't know, leg kick injury. So what it was Chris Weidman threw a leg kick. To me, it looked like it was going to be a calf. And Hall, proper defense. Almost like what Justin Gaethje was saying, just turn your leg. He checked it, and it broke Weidman's leg on impact. So basically, he did the Weidman what Weidman did to Silva. Weidman's already had surgery. It's been successful. He was smiling in the pic, so I want to say he's in good spirits. But come on, you know it took Silva about a year to come back from his and. Hopefully, if Weidman still wants to keep fighting, he has a good recovery. You know, and if he's ready to, if one day he wants to continue, great, let's do it. But man, at the same time, anybody that goes, well, could this be a career ender? You're not out of line saying that either. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, broken bones don't always heal. I mean, Paige VanZant, didn't she five times or something like that needed to get it corrected again or three times?
She's had that surgery a lot.
Yeah, so we'll see. You know, we wish him a speedy recovery, and I think we'll just leave it at that. Uriah Hall felt terrible, but he won, and he did the proper defense to that kick. Remember, if Weidman lands it and it's effective, it could slow him down, get him to switch his stance. It could hit maybe the peroneal nerve, which we'll get to in just a second, and drastically affect the fight that way. So he shouldn't feel bad. That was the technique. It was a technique that Weidman used to adjust to Anderson Silva teeing off on his legs in the first fight, and Ray Longo and Chris Weidman worked on that technique in the second fight. I think they called it the destruction or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure he felt bad in the moment, you know, but that's the way this game is, man. It is a violent game. And I now that's the third one I've seen. Weidman Corey Hall Hill, sorry, and Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
And Weidman was a part of two of them.
It doesn't happen that often, but when it happens, it's devastating. And the weird thing is that it seems to and no matter who it happens to, you probably feel bad, but it's hit some pretty good people. You know, just good guys in the sport.
But I don't think the calf kick is stopping anytime soon. At the same time, what does Boss Rudin always say? End your combos with a kick. Don't just throw naked kicks out there either. And I would imagine that's true, because if you're worried about your defense, you may not have your hips, your feet may not be aligned in the perfect way to check the kick, other than maybe lift your leg. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Anthony Smith defeated Jimmy Crute. Now, that was a TKO stoppage at the end of round one. But they call it round one. But basically, he didn't come out for round two. Now, what happened was he took a kick to the peroneal nerve, and he basically shut down Jimmy Crute's injury, similar to what you saw in Johnson versus Cejudo and O'Malley versus Vera and Chandler versus Primus. Some fighters can come back from it pretty quick, like Cejudo did, and then others, it could basically end your night. That's what happened here. The doctor, you know, he went back to the stool because Crute got a takedown and finished on top, but you could tell it wasn't working. His foot just kept folding, and he sat down on the stool, and then he came out. He was fired up. He wanted to do it, but then the doctor told him to easily just perform this for me, and that's walk towards me and then walk back. He managed to sell it a little bit going forward, but going back, I mean, he just folded the ankle. And if you were to see this in a basketball game, you'd go, oh, get the doctor, get the stretcher. Let's take this guy to the back. He's probably seriously hurt. So why should it be different in MMA? The doctor goes, I can't send him back out there like that. Mm-hmm. And he called it.
No, it was the right call. It definitely was. I mean, sometimes we see, like you said, it'll come back later on in the fight.
It appeared to when Crute was walking out. Mm-hmm. I couldn't see his feet, but it didn't look like he was, you know, moving.
Yeah.
So it appeared that maybe if he would have stood there like Kyoji Oji or something like that was his name.
The guy that fought Nick Diaz.
Yeah, and he stood there and he just had his two hands, not even over his face. He just had them separated. But if he would have just stood there and stood there in his corner, flat on his two feet, got Smith to come to him maybe, and then shot a takedown, hopefully rode him on top for 5 minutes. I think the foot may have worked going into round three, but I might be wrong. I don't know. But Smith could have easily said, no, you come to the middle and meet me, and then the foot folds, and then whatever. And then plus he could kick him again. I don't know. There really was nothing really that could happen, and live the fight another day, because he was very, very compromised at that point.
O'Malley got out of a jam like that with Sukumao, right? Like if Sukumao stepped back, there's no way he could have stood and that fight would have been over. But I think it was the right call, because all it takes is just one more of those bad steps and an ACL gets torn or something, you know, something in your ankle goes out. It was the right call.
Mm-hmm. Randy Brown defeated Alex Oliveira. Dwight Grant defeated Stefan Sekulic. Damn. Because if that goes to a decision and Sekulic wins, well, they did go to a decision, but if they said Sekulic, I would have won some money. Brendan Allen defeated Carl Roberson. Submission there. Patrick Sabatini dominated Tristan Connolly. I couldn't believe there was an even 110-8 there. Dana Bacharel defeated Kevin Natividad. Rodrigo Vargas defeated Rong Zhu. Jeff Molina defeated Quileng Ayori. And Arian Carnelosi defeated Na Liang. So there was 13 fights altogether. The bonuses went to Jeff Molina versus Quileng Ayori. And the performance of the nights went to Kamaru Usman and Rose Namajunas. I think I would have went for performance, man.
Yeah.
I would have given one to Valentina. That was so impressive. And then the other one, it could be, well, either Smith or Uriah Hall. I mean, they both... Those were techniques involving leg kicks. One, mm-hmm. where he struck the leg in an area where it hindered the other guy, injured the other guy. And then one where he defended himself. Man, maybe the UFC just couldn't figure out who to give it to. So they went this route. Anyway, there's never a right or wrong there. All right, folks. I do want to say one quick thing. We did have attendance, 15,269. Haven't said that in a while. And then the total gate was 3,300,000. All right, our guest is ready to go. His name is Brendan Lochnane. He's coming off a win over Shaman Marias in the PFL's week one. So it's called PFL 2021 week one card that took place this past Friday. We'll set him up and we'll be right back. Hello, mate. How are you? How you doing, Brendan?
Yes, guys. How are we? Good to be back.
Yeah, man. Great to have you. Welcome back to MMA Junkie Radio. Congratulations on your win over Shaman Marias. Very impressive.
Thank you, my guys. Well, we all knew it was coming, didn't we?
I think a lot of us had that feeling. You know, if you look at the staff picks, a lot of people went with you, and you delivered. You made it look easy, too. You know, you ended the fight in round one, which gets you the bonus points and puts you at the top of the standings.
I mean, yeah, do you know how good, how much of a weight is lifted off my shoulders now to be the only finisher of the night? Like, massive lift off my shoulders. There's a very, very, very high possibility now of getting to the semis and the final, and that's all that matters now. That's the goal.
Yeah, and by ending the fight early, you know, it's less opportunity for you to get injured or basically that being the main thing, you suffering any injury. Because as we know, this is a compact schedule. It's a season, and you have to be ready to go for the next one. So overall, your health, 100%?
Hey, it's 9:45 a.m., and we're on our way back to the gym. Like, we ain't playing. Straight back to the gym, straight in, and ready for the next one.
There you go. All right. So 9:45 a.m., you're on our time zone. Where are you at right now?
In San Diego.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right, I've got to stay domestic for the duration of the tournament, so I'm back at Alliance and we're on our way to the gym now.
Let me ask you this. What's more important at this point? Developing more technique, not hard sparring, but sparring, or rest as you get ready for the next fight? Again, this is a little bit different with PFL because remaining healthy is very important too.
That's a great question. Like, this is the first time I've ever... Well, no, I've fought this close together before, but not four in the space of 6 months. It's crazy. It's a crazy schedule. So I'll be going back to the gym now, just getting back in the flow of things. I just keep the weight down, keep my mind sharp, lots of recovery stuff. And let's not forget, every single one of them went through a 15-minute war, and I just walked out of there fresh. So I'm already so far ahead of this tournament that I've just got to keep it going now.
Fresh as a daisy. What would they say in the UK? You got a saying for that?
Fresh as a daisy, mate. Fresh as a daisy.
Oh, you guys say that too? Okay. All right.
Yeah, we do. That's one of ours. I'm sure you stole it off us, actually.
We've stolen a lot from you guys, so I imagine we probably stole that one. You know, I'm George, and I always wondered where Georgie Porgy came from. And when I was in Edinburgh, Scotland, I did a bus tour. I recommend bus tours. Any big city you go to, always take a bus tour. Yep. And the guy told me that that's where Georgie Porgy was from. And I was like, yeah, well, the UK, we've stolen a lot from them. You know, we used to live near a city called Westminster, another one, Riverside. And when I watch a lot of the football matches, a lot of the stadiums are called the same names for cities that we have in California. So, yeah, I agree. We stolen a lot from you guys.
Well, for such a small country, we had a lot of power. We're about the size of a peanut now, so we haven't really got no say in anything.
All right. Hey, by the way, I spell color and favorite with a U, so I'm into the UK culture, man.
Nice, bro.
All right, hey, goes. What do you have?
What about Clay Collard, man? Let's talk about Clay Collard. How good did he look?
Oh, that was an amazing performance,
yeah,
right?
Got just, I mean, hat.
He stood in the pocket and just unloaded.
He's a dog. I love watching that guy fight. Like, he ain't backing down from nobody. He's a dark horse for the 55 division this year.
Brendan, I want to go back to yourself here for a second. I want to know, you know, everything, we've kind of kept in touch with you. You had that long break where you were just able to focus on yourself and train, but no fight. Right now, do you feel like this fight, did you get everything off your chest? Like, does it almost feel like a new start to everything going forward here?
Well, I think you've seen how emotional that I got after the win, and I was just screaming. So I was like, what triggered that was, I watched a breakdown that some guy did. It was like a 12-minute breakdown on me and the fight. And the guy was like, yeah, we think Brendan will edge it out. But, you know, we know Brendan Lochnane's not going to finish anyone. You know, he's just going to get on the jab and do what Brendan Lochnane does. And I literally watched that the night before the fight and just got so mad. I just went in with that kind of aggression. I was like, fuck this guy. I'm going to take this guy out. And like, yeah, I don't know, it just triggered something inside me. I don't know, something as small as that really triggered some demon inside me. And I just, I don't know, I just think moving forward, that's exactly how I need to fight every one of these guys now.
You know, I don't know why that happens. When people do mention your name, I think people always have this little bit of doubt that they like to throw out there. But you've proven them wrong. Do you feel like this performance here kind of shut up a lot of people, or do you think there's just always going to be people with that type of opinion or haters?
I mean, I've got 11 knockouts on my record. Like, it's a hell of a lot of knockouts. Like, just because I haven't done it in the last few fights. And like I said in the pre-fight, look, them other guys who are fought, the last three guys, Bill Algeo said to me he was trying to survive. The other two guys were just trying to survive. So when someone's just shelling up, it's really difficult to get a finish. But this guy, I knew he was going to come and try and fucking light me up. So he was going to open pockets for me to finish the fight. And I did know that, and I did take that into consideration. And that's why once I seen the pockets, I just went for it. And that's exactly what you got to do in these tournament formats. When finish presents himself, 6 points on the line, $1 million, you've got to take them. And I've learned a lot over the last, well, few fights, really, on how to just explode and go through.
I don't think I've ever seen you take time off or rest. You're always in the gym. Does you being in the gym today have to do with the way the fight went, or does it have to go with, because of the format, there just is no time to take off at all?
Listen, I could get away with a week of just chilling. I really could, but I think you're forgetting that this is my passion. This is what I love to do. I love to get up in the morning and go and train every day. Like, what would be the point in me sitting around now when I've got not an injury to my name? I've got out very clean. You know, I've ate everything in sight for the last 2 days. So I'm like, all right, well, I feel like shit now. So I've got to get it out of my system. It's such a quick turnaround time. And I'm not sure when the next opponent's getting announced, but when the name comes over, I'll be straight into preparation. Like I said, them guys are going to be carrying a lot of knocks. There was a lot of tough fights. Tyler Diamond and Song Bin, very tough fight. You know, Lance had a hard ride. And then Chris Wade had a really tough fight. Everybody's bust up, man. So, like I say, not only am I at the top of the leaderboard, and my health is 100% intact, unlike these other guys.
I had a blast watching the fights on ESPN2. And it was pretty historical because you had two champions, back-to-back champions that also lost. We brought up Clay Collard, so we gave him a shout-out. But, you know, Marcin Held, he won as well. Bubba Jenkins, he won as well. So, yeah, man, top to bottom, week one delivered. And I'm really happy for you guys because, you know, PFL, we're supporters of it. And took a whole year off, but what a splash. So great job to all the featherweights and lightweights. I'm already pumped up for the next round.
I mean, it's like I say, I've been sat on the shelf for well over a year now, waiting for this day to come, chomping at the bit. While all them guys took time off, I was looking at a few interviews with my guys. Oh yeah, we just took 6 months off, 8 months off. Listen, that's all going to pay dividends to me because I spent every day on that time off getting better, improving my skills, sharpening up, improving flexibility, getting my mind right. And that's why it's shown on the night. I was the only one that really went straight through somebody. So, like, I think that's a sign of things to come for me now in the next few weeks.
Let's finish up with this. Another passion of yours. We share it. Manchester United. We got a draw yesterday. I wasn't too thrilled about waking up at 6 a.m. and watching a 0-0 draw, especially because we've been pretty money on the road. But have you been keeping up with the Red Devils? And what are your thoughts?
I have not been in the UK since September last year, so I'm so behind on football right now. I was even going to call it soccer. So that's how far behind I am.
We're in second. We're in second, but we're in the semifinals of Europa. But, you know, the team can really look exciting at times, but just 0-0 draws at 6 a.m., they suck.
Especially for you guys getting up. Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, my man. Well, listen, I know you're on your way to practice. Thanks for making some time for us. And we'll talk to you soon. We'll talk to you before the next one. All right, mate?
Thank you, guys. Appreciate everything. Thank you.
All right, take care. See you, Brendan.
Take care.
There you go, Brendan Lochnane. Who's driving?
It kind of looked like Dominic Cruz. Did it really? But he did it so quick.
Did it that, so fast. I was looking at that screen, which is like 3 feet away from me.
Mm-hmm. He was in a roomy car.
I don't have my glasses, so I was going to say it looked like Dominic, but he did it so fast. And if the guy piped in, then I'll do it. But I wanted to have respect for Brendan. And then it started to then. Then once we got our questions out, I was going to ask him. Mm-hmm. And just to see if Dominic would say something. I don't know. It's his interview. And then the fight, you know, when these fighters appear in the car and it's moving, I don't even like it when it's not moving. But when it's moving, I'm like, oh, we prefer the Wi-Fi, but it worked. Worked out. All right, so here are the results of PFL 2021, week one. Clay Collar defeated Anthony Pettis. Great fight. Pettis almost finished him in round three, but Collar had won the first two rounds. So, you know, I kind of had an idea, I guess, that they were going to give him the 29-28. And they did. So he won. He hurt Pettis, man. He really hurt Pettis. Great, great hands. Great win for Clay Collard. Martine Held defeated Nathan Schultz, who's won the last two lightweights tournaments or seasons, I should say. They don't like that word, by the way, tournament. Seasons and championship. Credit to Martine Held. They went at it, Goes. You could hear them when they were hitting themselves in the body, in the face. It was just like that flesh sound, that flesh, bone-hidden flesh sound.
It's weird, too, because it sounded like when Rocky would hit the meat, right? Mm-hmm. The side of beef. But because you just don't expect something like that from Martine Held.
Mm-hmm.
You expect him to roll and grab a leg, and that's it, right? It either works or it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I was waiting for a leg lock. Movlid Khabibulayev defeated Lazar Stojanovic, and Khabibulayev is now 16-0. I think it's 16-0-1. I think he took a draw somewhere. I remember seeing. He was under consideration for an honorable mention on the USA Today MMA Junkie rankings, but got to give it to Bubba Jenkins, who displaces Lance Palmer, because he beat Lance Palmer, and he may not have the record that Khabibulayev has, or that even Brendan Loughnane has, but he beat someone in the current rankings, and that to me carries more weight than a shiny record, because I could be 100-0, but if my opposition hasn't been good, then, and that's not to say that Loughnane and Khabibulayev have had that, it's just they haven't had enough to offset Jenkins beating someone who's won the last two seasons, who has a good record, and who is ranked in our current ranking. So that's a peek behind the curtain there. Jenkins beat Palmer. Loughnane defeated Marias. And Raush Manflo defeated Joyalton Luderbach. Ahmed Aliyev defeated Mikhail Odinstov. Chris Wade defeated Anthony Dizzy. Tyler Diamond defeated Sungbin Jo. And Alex Martinez defeated Loik Radzibov.
But it was a nice little splash, a nice little welcoming of PFL. I thought it went well. PFL behind the scenes maybe probably wasn't too thrilled, right? Because I mean, they just had a lot of upsets. But it's fun to watch.
I was thinking of that, but in doing so, you know, it's in pro wrestling we call it putting someone over.
Mm-hmm.
But they know they're gonna get pinned, you know, when that happens, but you do it for some of the younger talent. But here with PFL, is Clay Collard now a bigger name because he beat Pettis? The answer is yes. Now, if Pettis wins, then yeah, that probably rewards them. Pettis steamrolls Collard in week one, you know, can he continue in next week's PFL or next month's PFL? You know, they can promote it that way. But I think there's always been a benefit in MMA is if someone takes a loss, well, guess what? Now you might have yourself a star. So with Clay Collard, I think that's the case. With Held, we kind of already knew who Held was, and it was a great fight. So just credit to both guys. And then with Bubba Jenkins, we all know who Bubba Jenkins is. He's a former national champion in Division I NCAA wrestling. And then Brendan Loughnane, of course, also won. You know, we've known him, but for another reason. I was proud of ourselves. We didn't bring it up. The Dana White Contender Series, you know?
Yeah.
In fact, I think he may have brought it up. He may have brought something up. But yeah, his name that didn't come up, and we just march on from that. That was a couple years ago, and he's done with it. But I've always liked talking to him. So thank you to Greg Savage for lining that up. And that's basically our week. Just a couple news nuggets. Daniel Cormier got into a confrontation with Jake Paul. in the audience. I think I heard a couple fuck Jake Paul chants. Thank you all for tuning in to UFC 261 Watch Along this past Saturday here on Sportscaster. That was fun. McGregor says he wants a crack at the 170 title. Fool, you're coming off a loss. Beat Poirier first, and then the world's yours. When you win, Conor McGregor, when you win, you can say anything you want almost, you know, because that's how big of a superstar you are. But coming off a loss, I think you just need to focus on the trilogy. Write that check for 500 grand. I think you should make good on that. And then after that, focus on the winner of Oliveira and Chandler. Forget about Usman right now. Here's the thing, goes with Connor is he had this brilliant run where everything he did and said was just pretty much spot on the money. But lately, he's just that's what he said was silly. You know,
because you have to win. You're not winning. None of that makes sense.
Yeah, you're coming off a loss, and then worry about your division first. And if you win that, if you were to beat Poirier and then the winner of Oliveira and Chandler, then I think you have every right to say that because you are Conor McGregor. That's as easy as that. You know, I don't think you'd get it, but maybe Dana would make it. I don't know, but you're a few steps away. So that was just some silliness that I saw. I don't think I saw any silliness from John Jones. But speaking of John Jones, Dana's pointing to everything that says Lewis versus Ngannou and. Vittoria versus Israel Adesanya made. So I'm just blasting through the news nuggets because we got to end the show. But goes any thoughts on anything there before we end?
Just that if Conor McGregor's winning, he could say whatever he wants. But when he's not, he just shouts a lot of nonsense. I don't really pay attention to it.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're going to get on out of here. We'll be back on Thursday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Keep an eye on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video, because we're going to do a lot of interviews during the week. Sometimes you catch the recaps there on our front page with video highlights, but if you want to watch the full interviews, you can go to the YouTube page and catch that. And if you want to watch any of the previous shows from the years that we weren't also on Sportscaster, because we've been on Sportscaster for a couple years now, so a lot of the shows are here on our channel itself, though we might have some announcements regarding that. You can always subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts and other platforms as well, even Omni. And go back and listen to any of the other 3,000 that we've done and check it out. All right, folks, we got to get on out of here. Have yourselves a nice day and keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout the week and go out there and be a champion.